this bullshit? I mean...
yeah, you would think that after this many years of doing this, that the whole podcast part would come a little more easily than it does sometimes.
Were we actually talking, it was either during the show or after show, how we haven't had any problems in a long time? I could have swore we did.
Probably. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. Because we did have a long run of nothing going sideways during recording.
Yeah.
It was a nice run. Hopefully it ended, but... well, yeah, this one was still... This week, still relatively minor. Losing 40 minutes last week was heartbreaking, honestly.
Yeah, all I was doing was complaining. Not complaining, but just talking about how Tony Khan just shouldn't respond to things. But what I was going to say, though, we were talking about best friends. Oh. Best friends in the Ring of Honor were just, like, douchebags. Now they're just, like, these goofy guys in AEW. It's very weird.
Yeah, AEW doesn't have as good of a tag team division as they think they do.
Well, I don't know. They have so many.
They have more team. They have more volume than the WWE because, I mean, what? If you have more than four teams, you can have more than the WWE. So it's not exactly a high number to shoot for.
Yeah. I don't know. Even last night, like, the main event was really good last night, right?
Oh, and... I keep on dying here. The last 2 weeks, they have actually gone over time. And I'm just like, just stop this nonsense, guys. I'm sorry. Like, I like the NXT model, I believe that it is, that... It goes to, you know, 10:08. Sometimes it ends before that. Sometimes it ends right at 10:08. Whatever. My DVR catches it.
Yeah. Even this YouTube app's pretty good about catching overruns, so.
Yeah. Like, just... Yeah. If you're going to do an overrun at this point, just... So, that's it. You were talking about the pinfall of that match. I honestly had forgotten to look it up. I just started laughing when for the because I had started to make fun of AEW because they'd make this big stink out of the fact that they could go overtime and they never did. Like they all of the announcers spend like the last 10 minutes or 15 minutes of the show saying, oh, well, we'll be able to extend the main event if we, you know, if necessary. Like, TBS is okay with this. And then it just never, they never delivered on it. And now they've delivered on it twice. But, of course, I also think that I'm going to assume that maybe they went over time by, like, a minute or something like that. Because they have not had terribly long runovers to this point.
I just watch, and when it's over, over. So that's the nice thing about like watching these shows live, I guess. I don't know. I don't really pay attention.
Well, I have, for the most part, been watching live. And then, well, I tape it. And then jump in live whenever the wife and I get done watching whatever we're watching. And then I just go live. So I have caught like one or two of the overruns that they've done recently. And it was like literally only a minute over. And I just started, I'm like, does this even count as an overrun when it's only 1 minute? Like, that's just like... You know,
advertisers, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's just like doing something just to prove that's like calling bullshit on someone on Twitter for calling out your illegal man. You know what I mean? It fits the bill.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought the one that I'm trying to keep on track. We were talking about overruns. Like, remember when NXT used to do overruns all the time?
Oh.
And now that 2-hour show feels longer than Raw. So it's like, thank God they stopped doing those. That would have been excruciating. It's like, if, as long as an overrun makes sense, or if, you know, if it's not every week, it's fine. But, like, last night, the main event was really good, so I was like, cool, let's just keep going. You know, you don't mind. As long as, I guess as long as something's good, you don't mind. You find yourself engaged in it, engrossed in action, whatever. But, like, if that, what is it, Mandy Rose, Roxy, no, I'm sorry, it's not Roxy anymore.
Roxanne Perez.
Yeah, sure, whatever. Roxanne Perez.
Yep.
If that would have gone over, I'm like, oh my god, just stop. Put a bullet in the show, anyways. But yeah, I don't care. I was surprised the Bucks lost, but then I guess it turns out they were never supposed to win the titles to begin with.
The
Hardys that were supposed to win. I'm like, okay. Then why did you have the Bucks lose the Jurassic or beat Jurassic Express? Like, was the Christian heel turn that
important?
But then I guess Jungle really hurt. Oh, okay, so that makes sense then.
Oh,
so
yeah, yeah, they needed to write him off TV.
Insert somebody else. I don't know, but because didn't it seem like it? It all signs were pointing to FTR and the Bucks again, but this time for like the Ring of Honor title, or I'm sorry, not Ring of Honor, AEW tag titles, so they could win all of the major championships they could.
Yeah, it seemed like it was going to happen, and then it didn't.
Yeah, and it's like, so now, I don't know. Man, they're telling a different story. And I know you don't watch Being the Elite, but on Being the Elite, it's all about how Hangman, like the Bucks want to reach out to Hangman. Hangman wants to reach out to the Bucks.
Oh, okay.
You would have no idea on TV that was going on.
No. And I still have not carved out the time to start watching BTE again. Maybe I can somehow. I might be able to at least catch one this week when the wife is not in town, but
I mean, they're not. I mean, there's so much filler on there.
Oh.
If they did just their stuff, they'd be 5 minutes long, you know. But they have got like they've got the BT Championship. Nick Nemeth does his own thing. Some other stuff like Peter Avalon and Leva Bates, and then the Bucks have their stuff. So it's like, I mean, Dark Order was on, so that's when Hangman Page was on. That's when he was talking about, like, you know, rekindling friendships, whatever else. But anyways.
No.
It just seemed like that's where it was pointed. Like, I don't know. They talked about Hobbs and Starks being number two rated tag team. Then the number three was, was it Swervin'
Keith Lee?
Yeah. Well, no, their team, they gave him some goofy name.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay. This match makes no sense.
If that name got used in the WWE, everyone would be saying how bad it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like Hobbs and Stark, that's fine. It's almost like Hobbs and Shaw. That's cool. But
I honestly, my favorite part about them last night was how excited Taz was about his boys bringing home some gold. And I'm like, yeah, you're telling on yourself. You know that FTW championship isn't shit.
They said, what is he, 364 or 384 days as champion? And it's like, no one cares. The only people that care about that are Team Taz. Because if you think about it, Brian Cage was the FTW champion. Ricky Starks beat him. Ricky Starks defended that title at, was it Battle of the Belts? Right?
Yeah.
I was at it. Yeah, I was actually at it. So I was like, okay. And then, now he's in a tag team with Hobbs, which makes sense. They're Team Taz. But, so? But even the crux of this match makes no sense. Why isn't FTR in this match? Why wasn't FTR in the ladder match? Own fault. But
well,
you consistently talk about the rating system. Then why aren't the number one contenders having a goddamn match? Twice now, two tag team title matches, they're not in it. Makes no sense.
Agreed. Yeah, it should be logical that they were involved in one of these things. They have not been. I know that they're probably trying to save that, I would assume, for pay-per-view.
Of course, but it's like, I don't know.
They need at least some type of excuse to get around it. Is that at least something. What you're looking for?
Like, I know FTR is going against the Briscoes at Death by Dishonor.
Death before Dishonor.
So, did I say Death by Dishonor?
I think so.
Jesus Christ. Anyways. Doesn't matter. But, okay. And then the other thing is, I'm in a mood. Like, okay, so the Ring of Honor pay-per-view is coming up. You'd think John Gresham would be defending the title on the show. No, he's defending it against Lee Moriarty, who is the number one contender for the ROH title. Why? When has he ever won a match? He's the guy that beat MJF by countout, disqualification, if I remember right. Name me another Lee Moriarty match. There you go. Cool. He's going for the ROH title? What the fuck is going on?
They're just throwing their young talent at the ROH pool.
Which is fine. But give me an established young talent, please. Daniel Garcia is going against Wheeler Yuta. All right, cool. That's cool. That'd be a good match, actually.
Yeah, that should be an enjoyable match.
Wheeler is he still in Japan doing the G1, I think?
I would assume so. Doesn't that take a while?
Yeah.
I forget how many days that is, but I feel it's like
2-3 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was 3 weeks. I thought it was at least 21 days. And that's a lot of shit and events in that thing, too.
Yeah, well, it's just, I don't know. Again, it's my fault for caring about something they should actually figure out. Just get rid of this rating stuff. It's okay. It never works because of stuff like this.
Oh.
This is the hot tag team. They worked their way up. Think about it when we were younger. You always knew who was going to go after the titles because they always built up the hot team. So you had Dream Team. I'm going to go way back. The Dream Team, Beefcake and Valentine, right?
Yeah.
And who was coming up at the time? The Bulldogs. Yeah, it was the Bulldogs, right? Yeah, leading up to WrestleMania 2. And they beat them finally. And then the next year, the Hart Foundation's the up-and-coming team. They beat the Bulldogs somewhere along the line and then have, you know, the match at WrestleMania. And then Demolition comes. There was constantly a cycle of people. I think the only team that never won were the Rockers. Like, the Killer Bees always seem like a team that should have won the titles but never did.
I guess I always kind of realized that, even then, I realized that they were on the job squad.
But they used to win matches all the time. That was the thing. So, but it always became apparent when a team was next in line.
Yeah.
But here, the team that's clearly next in line is defending one of their titles somewhere else. Like, okay. Even WWE, like, that is a total loss to WWE. So, whatever. Like, the Street Profits get in a match at Money in the Bank. Why? Because they did. Okay. And now they actually have a legitimate reason to have another match at SummerSlam. And I'm like, alright, well, they're doing something. But who's after them? Nah. No.
they do not have a pool to pick from at all. That's why you get the super teams on in the WWE all the time.
Yeah. Well, the weird thing is the super team of Orton and Riddle actually worked, which we should have known all along that would work just based on the personalities. Because we already got a mini version of it with Pete Dunne and Matt Riddle. So.
Uh-oh.
We should have seen that one coming, but.
This is
anyways,
true.
Anyways, go back to AEW. Like, I don't know. I was surprised it was Swerve and Keith Lee just because of the problems they were having. And really, it's like, are Hobbs and Stark ever going to win a big match?
Oh. They could desperately use some type of win. Like, that just seems to be all promise still. Like, I feel like they signed both of them pretty early, and they haven't really gone anywhere. They get talked up a lot, especially by the announcers, even when it's not Taz. But, yeah, they still haven't really done a whole lot.
No. Not at all. Like, they cut a killer promo that no one saw, because it was on their YouTube channel. Ugh. Starks was awesome. Hobbs is really good, too.
Oh.
But no one sees that stuff. Like, AEW is doing the same thing WWE is doing. They're putting their content online and making you go there to watch it, which I understand in a business sense is what you want. But as an overall TV product, it doesn't make sense. We should be having these sit-downs. We should be having these the week before, the day of the show. Just something. Did we really – all right, I'm being dead serious. Did we really need another segment with Jade Cargill and the baddies arguing? That really went nowhere. What was the backstage segment that didn't make much sense? Or Jericho talking forever.
Oh my gosh, that was something. I just laughed when he said that he was bringing back the Painmaker.
Yeah, it's, okay, cool. Like, so?
Great, you're gonna paint your face and wear a fedora.
Yeah, with like Road Warrior shoulder pads. The Painmaker thing works in Japan because they're goofy as fuck over there. They're like, oh my god, the Painmaker. Like, okay. And over here, we're like, why is this guy dressing like this? It's like, you're not Cactus Jack. Or, I'm sorry, you're not McFoley. Like, there's no three faces of Jericho. But
yeah, evidently there is now, or at least two faces of Jericho.
Yeah. But yeah, man, one is the superstar, the wizard, the legend, then the Painmaker. He has four, actually.
Oh. Cool.
But no, like, I complain about WWE doing the stuff, and it's not fair to not call AEW out on it, too. They waste a lot of their time. I mean, in all seriousness, I like the match, but did Wardlow and Orange Cassidy need to go long? When it's firmly established, Wardlow is a menace. And he would easily destroy Orange Cassidy. And I know Orange Cassidy isn't a guy you want to job out quick, but doesn't it make more sense? 5 minutes of Orange giving him everything, Wardlow just turns and bombs him. That's it.
This may be some crazy talk here. But how about you not have Wardlow and Orange Cassidy mix it up within Wardlow's first 30 days as champion?
This was his first defense, I believe.
Yeah, like, have him destroy Sean Spears. Like, why not? Again. I forgot that he had already wrestled him once. So I was trying to come up with someone not Orange Cassidy, though, that they could have him beat. There's got to be someone on that roster that they could fill that spot without too much harm.
Yeah, but you're right. There's plenty of other people. And again, why does Orange Cassidy get the first shot?
A guy that just came back from injury himself, so hasn't really you know, reestablished himself.
Yeah. And then, or then, wait. Then, all right, then why is Luchasaurus and Griff Garrison having a match? I'm being dead serious on this one. That screams AEW dark. I don't understand. Like, so Christian Cage isn't wrestling, but Luchasaurus is doing it in his place. Okay, I understand the concept, but holy God, that could have been cut down.
I can't believe Angelico is still on the roster. Good God.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, I will have to back up a second. Dark was pretty good this week because it was matches from all over the place. And while I'm in complaining mode, Thunder Rosa stinks. She lost a match, and she's there smiling. You know how much of a wee bitch, or I do, about Raquel Gonzalez smiling all the time? Tony Schiavone's interviewing her, and she smiles like, yeah, you know, the match didn't go the way I wanted to. But I'm like, what do you mean? You're the champ. You shouldn't be smiling. You just lost. Like, this is the stuff AEW is supposed to correct. Because, like, that's the thing. We're a wrestling company, not an entertainment company. So you shouldn't be, like, she shouldn't be smiling. And then why is there a thunderstorm? There's no women's tag team division.
That part was baffling to me. Because of those reasons. It's just like, huh? Like, there, guys, there is no women's tag team division. Like, what the...
Even the baddies are just an entourage of wrestlers, but they're just an entourage.
Yeah.
I'm making it sound like I didn't like the show. I did, but there's so many goofy things with this, with the AEW product, this show, that no one ever mentions. If you go, these shows get universally praised, and everyone just ignores. Like, time wasted. They've been using a lot of the same people, which is probably due to their injury situation.
But yeah, oh man. I am looking down this roster, and as large as this thing is, I have not come across a lot of good names for Wardlow to beat at this point.
Yeah, because, I mean, well, he already, well, I guess Lance Archer can't be one. He already beat him pretty decisively.
Yeah, because a lot of them are people that either he beat already or really aren't in a at all good position to fight him.
Yeah, and there, but then, yeah, then there's also people you just can't put him in the ring with. You can't put him in the ring with Miro. That's a money match, first off. It needs a build. And you're not jobbing out Miro again. What about Buddy Matthews? Which is, by the way, where was he in that House of Dark segment? It was just Brody and Malachi.
I don't know.
Julia.
I feel like
that was weird.
He's been a little MIA recently. I don't know if he's injured or not.
I was going to say, unless he's hurt too. So...
Yeah, I've got to admit, I have a not tight grasp on the injury situations for WWE or AEW.
Yeah, well, if you're not seeing them in AEW, they're hurt. Cole, Fish, O'Reilly, Omega, obviously. Jungle Boy, Penelope Ford's out. There's a bunch of other people. There's just a bunch of people that are hurt. So, yeah. Some major people too, like, you know, Cole and them. That's a pretty big loss, but it also probably helps too because Cole had been kind of damaged, and then Red Dragon hasn't really made the splash. I mean, they lost to Jurassic Express clean, and that's really been it. O'Reilly went on his own and Fish too for the Owen Hart Cup thing.
Oh, right.
But
yeah, they have had a weird run in AEW already.
Bobby Fish getting hurt again. Good Lord.
Yeah, it might be because he's 40. I'm just throwing it out there.
I mean, there's plenty of people who are like that that aren't getting hurt, though. Is it just him specifically? Because didn't he get hurt in NXT? Then got hurt again, right? And then came back for a while and then got hurt again.
Yeah, he definitely got hurt in one of the War Games matches.
Yes.
And was out for a long time. I want to say 6 to 9 months. It might have been an elbow issue, if I'm not mistaken.
Did he dislocate it? Something like that?
Yeah, something in that neighborhood. So, he does seem to be injury prone. Because I'm not sure if he had an injury when I remember watching him in Ring of Honor. He's definitely had a bad luck of it in the WWE and transitioned into AEW here. Because he really hadn't been back all that long, honestly.
Oh, no. Didn't he just come back and got hurt again? And I think that's when he got released. Or he had just healed up, and that's when he got released. Yeah, because he came back, had a match where he lost, and then he was gone. For NXT.
Oh, okay.
That's a timeline win. So, whatever. But, so there are, like, little blessings in disguise like that. Like, it sucks someone's hurt, obviously. But, you know, there's no room for him right now. You can't even put him in Ring of Honor because that's, like, a step backwards. Like, Private Party should be in Ring of Honor. So they get some time. I don't know if Ring of Honor's getting TV or not, but goddamn, Private Party's been doing nothing. Butcher and Blade, have them go over there, for God's sake.
Yeah, some of these guys just, even looking at their records, it's not very high for this year. Like, I can't believe the Gun Club only has 8 total tag team matches for the year.
Which, doesn't it seem like they were on TV all the time?
Yeah. I guess that's why I'm surprised. Like, I feel like I've seen a month straight of them and the Acclaimed.
But aren't those 6-man matches? So that's why.
Well, yeah. There's right. Another 7 trios matches. On Colton Gunn's resume.
Okay. Yeah, because they were undefeated in tag. They were undefeated as a tag team, which is kind of hard to believe. And then Colton Gunn was actually undefeated overall until, was it Wardlow or somebody, or CM Punk, somebody?
I don't know. They're listing his singles record as 0-1 on on AEW's official website. It's 0-1. 6-2 is a tag team, and 5-2 in trios.
Wow.
Billy, his dad carrying the team, I'm assuming.
Their overly jacked dad. Good God. I don't know. We never saw Billy Gunn like in person, like close in person.
Oh, right.
He's apparently a giant man.
He was a guy that I think ever since, did he come back to, didn't DX come back to do an angle with someone? And I'm trying to think of who it was, after they'd all been retired for a little bit. And they came back and they did a short run with someone. And I don't know if it was against... Did you say Dudley's?
No. All right, so there's 2 different spots. So one, it was the Shield, and the Shield ran through him at WrestleMania, with the one with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan. Then they came back, and they had a short program with the Usos, where they won the tag titles again. And unless I'm confused in my timeline, and then the Usos won it back from them.
Yeah, it was probably the earlier one then, I would think. But I just remember going, hot damn, I can't believe, I didn't remember that he was this big.
Yeah.
And then, that is the crazy part. He's even bigger now.
which is why he got fired from WWE. He was a trainer, and I guess they found problems with his substance test or whatever, and they got rid of him as a trainer. And then he was like, all right, whatever. And then EW started, so he went over there to be a, you know.
Yeah, an agent.
Yeah. I don't know if he's an agent or backstage help, whatever. I don't know if they have agents there.
Yeah, well, okay.
Either way, or producers, whatever they're calling them. But,
yeah.
But yeah, so.
Sure, fine. Fill in some title here. I don't.
Yeah.
It's all generally the same thing.
Yeah. But I think AEW, like, to go back to the point, AEW has a lot going well for it, obviously. But just like, you know, McMahon's a billionaire, he could be, you know, well, I don't know how much longer, but he could be so much richer if he did things correctly. So, and that's the thing with AEW. Like, so now they're going to have Hangman in the Dark Order versus the House of Black? No. Who are they taking on Friday on Rampage? They said it. I think it is a House of Black.
Yeah, it's a House of Black.
Okay. Which is a weird thing. Like, okay, there's really animosity there, but sure.
Yeah, that's one where I just feel like it's one of those, I miss something on Dark or Elevation, and I don't get why this is a thing.
Yeah, and like how hot were Penta and Rey Fénix? And like, they're just kind of afterthoughts too. Like, Penta changed his name again. Was it Penta Obscuro or something?
Yeah, it's been that for a couple months here now.
Yeah, just weird.
Yeah, I mean, he's barely done anything different. He dresses a tad differently. Not, to me, a real drastic overhaul. So it's like, okay, sure, man. If that's what you want to do, have at it. I don't feel like I've seen Fénix on TV in a little couple of weeks here. I'm wondering if he's another one that's back on the shelf again.
Didn't they just run the angle where someone ripped his mask off?
Yes.
It was like a week ago. I think it was just last week.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, someone... was it House of Black, actually?
I can't imagine them again. Like, are they still doing that feud?
I don't know.
Good Lord.
I'm tired of the mask stealing, I guess, already in AEW. Like, there's kind of been a lot of it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, like, oh my god, so disrespectful. Well, they're bad guys. They'd never do that in Mexico, but we're not Mexico. So, okay. And also, it's the same thing with Rey Mysterio whenever his gets ripped off. Tie your mask. Make it stronger. This never used to happen. And the worst will always be Rey Mysterio, because the bottom of his mask is Velcro. You are asking for that to happen. It's like going into a fight with your shoes tied and you're trying to kick somebody. It's like, it's your own fault. But yeah, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure why it transitioned from Rey Fénix being hurt to... Not the... Oh, that's what it was. Just the mask removal stories that they've done a couple of times here now. So, yeah. And I guess maybe that's part of the problem why I can't remember who did it this time. They've run the same angle, like, back to back. And it's just like...
Now, I'm not a lucha aficionado. But how often do their masks get ripped open as well? Like, that is always happening. Like, they're cut, so they gotta make sure you can see the cut. It's like, well, you're supposed to be protecting your face. Like, you're supposed to be hiding your identity. Stop doing that. But, whatever. but I will say, most enjoyable wrestling show of the week was this one, though. As much as I've complained. Like, the action was good. The Christian angle's like, whatever, by this point. Until Jungle Boy is able to come back. I do appreciate the douchebaggery of Christian wearing a turtleneck and jacket in summer, especially in Savannah, Georgia. You're an asshole. That is an armpit in the summer. It is atrocious how humid and hot it is down there. I've been there a couple times in the summer, and it's rough. To the point where, like, one of the bartenders actually, we asked him, so when's a good time to come down? He's like, never. He's like, you've got a few weeks in May, and then you're screwed. I was like, oh, wow, which isn't true, but still.
Yeah, maybe the broader point still stands. Like, there's a lot of not good time to come down.
But cool city. I like Charleston better. So, easier to get to the beach, and a better beach, too. So. So that's my review of EW. Christian's a dick for wearing a turtleneck jacket.
I'm trying to think if there is anything else there. Because
doesn't that outfit just scream hoity-toity? Like, you don't want to like that person? Every 80s movie, that was like the dean of the college, or the professor everyone hated.
Yeah, he had a very 80s look to him.
Yeah,
with that outfit, for sure. I mean, hey, why not? Everything else is the 80s these days. Just
Weird Science, the teacher who likes the laser technology, he did that. Not Weird Science, a real genius.
Oh.
The movie no one saw in theater, but everyone saw on HBO, because they did it every day. Like young Val Kilmer.
Oh, poor Val Kilmer.
Dude, you know how cool, yeah, but you know how cool that would be if it was real to, like, pop all that popcorn inside of a house, to fill a house with popcorn?
Yeah.
How cool that would be?
That would be a lot of fun.
Yes. As a kid, I was like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. I mean, you're young, but God, that'd be so fun.
Yeah,
they're eating the popcorn at the end, even though it's broken through stained glass windows. And I'm like, you guys shouldn't be touching that stuff. Like, you know. And I'm sure the signs that did not work correctly, but whatever.
Oh. Yeah, that doesn't matter. That is irrelevant. It's a movie.
Real genius, everybody. It's a classic 80s movie.
Yep. Go see it if you haven't.
The best time of movies ever, the 80s. I'll fight to the death for that one. So, take your Godfathers.
Oh, because what? Those are all 70s, right?
Yeah, Godfather was 70s, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I didn't really start to pay attention until I met you. So, 90s might be a better time period.
The 80s was the last, like, bastion of, like, dirty movies, because things started cleaning up. So that's where you get, like, the last of, like, the dirty, gritty city movies.
You know, a movie that I know that we did not get the full version of, that I did watch recently, speaking of somewhat dirty, Police Academy.
Oh my God.
I was just like,
forever.
Yeah, I was like, I am completely unaware as to the last time I have watched this movie. And I know that I've watched this several times, but it has been quite a while since I've watched this.
Yeah. Well, didn't they turn out making like 6 or 7 of those too? Each with diminishing returns. Like, when Steve Guttenberg goes, I'm good, I'm not coming back, it's time to stop making them. But I have not seen that in forever. But yeah, but it's like, that's kind of like, that's another, like, kind of proves the point sort of thing. So, like, you've got the dirty city. So what was it, the Blue Oyster Club?
Yes.
Yeah. So that was, what, an S&M bar? Or?
Yes.
It was a gay biker bar?
Gay biker S&M bar. Like, it was like everything rolled into one.
Yes. And then they had to dress up to go in there, and, like, they're all trying to hit on Tackleberry, if I remember right.
Yes.
And it's like, as a kid, you're like, haha, this is funny. As an adult now, especially now, you're like, oh boy, it's still funny. I don't care. It's still funny. But it's like that crass, probably misogynistic, whatever humor.
Yeah,
it's gone because everything's safe now, and well, not safe. It's like the humor's changed. It's more observant, or I don't know, topical.
Yeah, and you are definitely in for a lot of. I don't remember as many callbacks back in the day. I feel like you've got to kind of keep track of things a little bit better sometimes, or like running gag is probably not the thing, because now I'm thinking about Young Frankenstein and the whole horse. Horse winning gimmick.
Yeah,
but is that 80s?
That was 70s. Is that
70s,
well,
though? Okay.
79? Maybe 81, actually. Either way. But no, it's like, alright, so that's when, like, 48 Hours came out. Like, you watch that now, you're out of your goddamn mind. No way. But it's funny. It's funny.
Well, the other thing is too, just it, although I do think that the R movies have started to make a comeback here, that was definitely something that that was more to me, like, more mainstream, I guess you would say.
Oh yeah, there were R-rated comedies, action movies, that all the time.
Yeah,
Beverly Hills Cop. Well, Train plays with comedy, but we were just talking about 48 Hours.
Oh yes.
Like, I mean, all of these movies are rated R. Now, obviously, there are a bunch of like non-rated R movies, but even as a kid, if you saw something and you're like, "Oh, it's PG-13," you're like, "Ah, no titties and no swearing." Although that wasn't true, you could get a big flash of titties and then two fuck, I think.
Yeah.
I think that was the rule.
Usually got a little bit of action. So, yeah.
But yeah, no, so sorry. But A is the best era for movies ever. Next. Speaking of not best era ever, can we please talk about this NXT thing?
Sure.
Oh. I love that the parking lot is actually catching on with other wrestlers now. There were actually NXT wrestlers, some of the WWE roster, like, saying, well, NXT parking lot claimed another victim. It's like the same thing every time they have to do something. Someone gets hurt in the parking lot. Something happened in the parking lot. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
The show was such a grind. When they had, what was the main event? Was that was Mandy Rose
and Roxanne Perez, right? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did I think was the main event? What all was on the show? Duke Hudson and Duke Hudson and Sanja, or Sanga?
Sanga.
Wasn't.
Kicked off with Apollo Crews and Giovanni Vinci.
Yeah, that match was whatever, but there was that cool contrived spot where, you know, Apollo jumps into his underarm. He never puts him down and ends up suplexing him. Like, that's crazy strength. Both of their part, really.
Yeah, that takes a lot of coordination and power to pull that off. But also, like you said, not terribly believable. And, not really completely surprising. I thought it was a weird spot to put Apollo Crews in. Zion Quinn costs him the match. You get an easy out for Mr. Crews, who is, trying to get the wheels back under him again after a not good run on the main roster.
I don't know. I think they already said that Sanga and Zion Quinn are looked at as stars on the main roster. And I'm like, let's calm it down with Sanga. He's got a cool look, but slow down. Like, all right. But I don't really hate him. Oh, by the way, I was actually going to text you this and I forgot. Is he one of the first foreign wrestlers, like, from the... is he from India?
I am not completely sure. That's a good question.
So he's from that section of the world. I'm just going to say it like that. That's not a bad guy. Started off and then just became smooth. Like, who else? No one. So I think that's pretty crazy that they're treating him as a good guy. Like, yes, he beat Wes Lee, but that helped him up. Like, all right, you got it out of your system, and it has helped him out. So it's like a guy from India, the Middle East, Africa.
He is Indian.
Okay. So yeah, but they don't do this. So it's very weird and obvious that a guy from India is being treated as a good guy instead of some dirty foreigner. Which is, you know, wrestling talk.
Yeah, it is kind of wild that he is not putting into the normal foreigner's position here.
Yeah, it is mind-boggling. He is what Veer Mahan should be.
Oh.
Veer Mahan speaks perfectly fine. Perfectly good English. He's got a good look. He's all sophisticated and shit on his Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all this, right? And then he comes out, I like inflicting pain. What is this shit? Oh, that's because Sangha, an NXT who doesn't get watched by nearly the amount of people on Raw, it has the gimmick? Okay. That's what I said, the clown in charge. I was actually pretty happy with that line. But...
yeah, well,
no,
that...
so it dawned on me watching the show. I'm trying to take positives from the show, and that was one of them. That this man, you know.
Oh. Yeah, he definitely has. I think they've established Zion Quinn a little bit more, but he's also lost too much to be taken too seriously on the main roster right now.
Oh, well, all right. Kind of back up, though. One, they don't care about NXT.
Yeah.
Look at what happened with Karrion Kross. He hadn't lost in NXT. He loses in 7 seconds to Jeff Hardy. So it's like if they actually acknowledged or cared about how the NXT character was treated, you know, that'd be something. But they just don't.
You reminding me of that just makes it even worse going... And how soon was Jeff Hardy out of there?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, real quick, I've been meaning to ask you this. It goes to AEW, but so Christian like berates Matt Hardy, and Matt Hardy's been using like Jeff falling off the wagon or whatever, getting in trouble as an angle. Like, he feels responsible for Jeff being this way because he's been selfish. And then, you know, Christian bringing up the obvious, easy bait like this, but...
Oh, yeah.
Well, the Christian stuff seems lazy, but to me, I don't know. I know Matt's his brother, but it just seems, like, kind of dirty. Like, to use brother's real hardships as an angle?
Yeah, there are some, to me, some of these... real life situations turn to angle just don't feel right to me sometimes. And this one falls into that category. Like, it's just like, it's a combination of too soon and just like, just not feeling right about the whole thing, honestly. It's just like, obviously, I know that I wasn't that comfortable with it when the WWE did it, honestly. You know?
No, okay, that's where I was going with this. So they had the whole thing with Sheamus and Jeff Hardy, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't believe they're doing this. This is terrible. How are they doing this? So, and I kind of agreed. Like, all right, enough. Like, this is crap. Just stop it.
Well, and that just ended up dragging on for too long.
That's true.
This one hasn't had the time to get to that stage yet. I hope it doesn't get to that stage. But who knows, well, you know?
Yeah, okay, so what's worse? Jeff Hardy's involved in the angle. Whether he likes it or not, I don't remember, right? WWE's idea, probably. So him, Sheamus, and WWE are involved. Go to AEW, and Matt is bringing it up, Christian brings it up, Jeff's nowhere to be found. Like, who's doing the worst dealing here? Is it Matt? Like, using your brother stuff, where Sheamus is, like, going along with the storyline, where hopefully he can get input from Jeff on, like, hey, is this okay? Hey, is this wrong? Which, you know, unfortunately, considering the source, you know, Jeff probably is like, hey, whatever. But... You know?
Yeah, I would imagine Jeff kind of open booked things.
Yeah,
the way things, especially with the way things played out.
Yeah, so I don't know. It rubs me the wrong way. Not rubs me the wrong way. It just makes me like look side eye. Like I don't know about this, but no one's really calling it out. Like it's a weird proposition to be using your own brother's stuff as an angle, which is a very real, ongoing, what, 20 years at least, ups and downs with sobriety, in and out of trouble with the law.
Yeah.
And then they're used as an angle about how you feel bad. Okay. Anyways, but back to, I've been meaning to ask you that, I totally forgot. So back to NXT. What's the most memorable part of the show to you? I'm just curious.
I was looking through this because I know that I only watched the Cliff Notes version of the first 30 minutes and then caught the rest of the show.
You know, all right, there's only two things that stand out on this show.
Yeah, there wasn't much. Like, they just kind of kept things moving along, I suppose. Like, everything looks fine. Like, they did a lot of just move along angles here.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of, I guess, botches. The only thing people are going to remember from this show, well, three things. One, poor Indy Hartwell. That was bad. Two, Roxanne Perez, I'm sorry, Cora Jade.
Oh.
With a tricked skateboard that snapped in her hand. And then a heel turn for no reason. But it's like two of those are mistakes. One's just a bad writing.
Yeah, that one was really mystifying to me. It seemed like you had something good with Cora and Roxanne. I'm not sure why you were rushing to get out of it.
Well, one, no one can be happy in WWE. We all know that. So people who are genuinely friends always turn on each other, but not usually the week after you win the tag titles with somebody. Or 2 weeks later.
Yeah, it seems like inauspicious timing, if nothing else. So, yeah, not the best plan on Miss Jade's part. I also don't know, like, I guess I'm not sure if Roxanne Perez has been around long enough to build up the sympathy that you think that you have.
Yeah, it's just this woman who won the breakout tournament. That's it. I mean, they put some investment in her, but whatever.
Well, yeah, they've definitely put some investment in, but it's also not been enough. You know, like...
No.
To garner the level of... Jade did get booed... I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know how it's going to translate, honestly. Like, yeah. maybe it'll keep going and it won't be that bad. It just, yeah, seems like a mistimed turn in at this time. Like, cause
even
with Cora Jade, like, I don't know how much I feel like I know of her character, really.
She carries a skateboard. What else do you need to know? Because they finally went, hey, don't ride that. You're very clearly awkward on the thing. Don't ride it. I don't like Cora Jade. Maybe the heel version I'll like, but the babyface version was terrible. So, whatever. But, yeah, it's so obvious what was going to happen. Okay. And I that doesn't even come from watching a ton of wrestling. It was just so telegraphed.
Oh, see, I guess I did not get to telegraph.
Oh, God. You got to remember, and I guess this is from watching wrestling a lot. You got to remember, whenever someone starts talking about their best friend, one of them always turns on each other.
Yeah.
That just when Randy comes back, he's probably going to turn on Riddle. That's what happens. Like, the only people who don't really turn on each other are brothers because of Vince McMahon's weird stance on that. And I know the Hardys did, but that bombed colossal.
Oh.
But brothers don't turn on each other, in WWE at least.
Right.
I'm trying to think of some other brothers that did, but no, because even the Dudleys didn't break up. They got split up.
Oh, right. Yeah, they did not have a feud upon breaking up.
So, but yeah. The show's just a sludge. It's sludge. It doesn't flow. It takes forever. The matches are getting worse, which really doesn't help. Like, who was it? Lash Legend and who?
Indy Hartwell.
Indy, yeah. That wasn't good. Never mind Indy's botch, which of all things, they covered the botch pretty well. The announcers could have helped and been like, well, it's humid here. She slipped. And she recovered enough to pin her. That would have been pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Instead, I was like, well, she didn't quite get all of that. What? Yeah, because she fell on her shoulder, which it looked like she might have. She could have dislocated her shoulder the way she fell.
It looked pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah, because she had her hand and arm straight when she hit the mat. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And she was favoring it, but I don't know if it's just a sell job or not, so.
Hard to tell in that department, that is for sure.
But that match was no good. Alba Fire shows up. You're like, okay. Distraction.
I'm not quite sure what I'm supposed to get out of the Alba Fire feud with Lash Legend. Yeah. If she beats Lash Legend, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and Lash Legend, because she won that matchup, didn't she? Or no, Indy won the matchup. Like, yeah, Lash Legend has lost to both Nikita Lyons and Indy Hartwell.
One was the distraction, though.
Yeah, one was the distraction, but it's just like, she has not exactly started off on a tear.
No, she really hasn't. And I think that's like part of the problem with the NXT model they're doing now. They got rid of, or they've moved them on, or fired them, whatever, all the people who could work. All the people who should be in there helping out are gone. Roderick Strong's still there.
And he's helping people that don't need help.
Yeah, exactly.
So, good on him, well, I suppose.
Maybe Damon Kemp would need the help.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I don't know the structure behind the scenes, but it's like all the established guys are gone. And if you would have just treated them better, they would have stayed and gotten paid more and to work once a week and not really travel. It would have been great. But
they could have at least used a couple more.
Yeah.
That is.
Because, I mean, they even got rid of William Regal, for that matter. So, you don't have, like, the trainer anywhere. Like, that's terrible. And I know he was doing scouting and all that, too, but still.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but from what I've heard or read, they practice their matches, and then they go and have the match on TV. Well, that doesn't help. Like, going in with something that's carefully created, I guess that's why the Indy Hartwell botch at the end, or gaff, whatever you want to say it, was actually good, because it made them think how to cover it up.
Uh-oh.
You know? So, like, yeah. Take a silver lining approach with that one. Now, the Cora Jade skateboard thing, oh boy.
Yeah. That's one where there's not much that you can do about that one. Other than make the skateboard more less tricked out or whatever.
Yeah, or how about you make it so that the skateboard just breaks when you hit it on the mat? Like, you don't have to have... You could have just had a... not particle board, that's not strong. What do I think? Balsa wood. Like they trick guitars out with. Use that wood. She never rode it. If you noticed, she never rode on the skateboard. She carried it the whole way.
Right.
So she could have very easily just had balsa wood, and that thing would explode everywhere, which would be even better. But also, and somebody else pointed this out, and I've thought about this before, you're trying to hurt somebody with a skateboard. Why would you have the wheels pointing upwards? That's harder than wood.
Oh.
Those wheels aren't breaking. Hit them with the wheels.
Yeah, that's one of those ones where it's just like, oh, I guess you don't really feel like maiming that person.
Yeah, I'm not that mad at you.
I'm only kind of mad at you, so I'm just going to hit you with the flat part of the skateboard instead of the yeah. Trucks.
I'm making an uncomfortable-looking weld.
I'm not trying to break your nose.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just like it's little details like that. But I don't even know what the hell else happened on the show. Cameron Grimes is going to fight who? Exactly.
I forget which guy gave him a hard time.
That he's going to lose to him as well.
Yeah, Cameron Grimes is the only guy
J.D. McDonough.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he's going to lose to him. Unless Bron Breakker interrupts or something. Oh, Dyad's going to reveal themselves, so I'm guessing that Grizzled Young Veterans changed their look enough now so that they can unmask.
Oh. Vince McMahon finally approves of their new look so they can unmask. I mean, those outfits were pretty awkward for them to be wrestling in. I hope they finally went backstage and they're like, nope, new. Oh, because, they deserve to be able to do that.
Yeah. But, no, so it's like, oh, boy. The rest of the show, though, I just don't care. I will say the Von Wagner Solo Sikoa brawl, like throughout segments, was kind of fun. I didn't hate it. So, and I don't think Solo Sikoa is going to be there much longer. At least by the end of the year, he may dabble.
But I think
it's pretty clear they're going to move him. Von Wagner, I mean, he looks like a hoss. Like those guys were just fighting. That was fun. And then he throws Robert Stone in the trash bin. I'm like, uh-oh, did they finally get rid of him? Because whenever you get tossed in the trash can, don't you usually get fired?
Usually. One of his better outings, honestly, Von Wagner.
Well, even the promo he cut was probably his best one ever. I don't remember what he said, but it seemed smooth, natural, it seemed real.
Yeah.
Unlike those awkward-ass camping segments. Tim and Kyle O'Reilly, two dorks.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
And we had a crazy day. We walked and drank one beer. Woo! Just never forget that. So bad. Kyle's not the coolest guy, and Von Wagner at that point was just like a tree, basically, just tall and stood there. Yeah, man, that's pretty crazy. Cool, cool, bro. But yeah, I just couldn't believe how long that show felt.
Oh, yeah, it was just like I said, it seems like they had a lot of matches, and a lot of matches that were like just seven minutes long, and they just kind of kept rolling with them, because there's that, the talking segments, a couple of the talking segments, it was an easy week to talk about other stuff.
Yeah. And I'm kind of wrestling tapped out. Like, I don't even care about Raw. I barely remember what happened now.
Yeah. Did you want to close with some soccer talk? Or are you ready to talk beer and get out of here?
Well, no. So a couple things. One, I finally watched Kong Godzilla. What a boring movie. Like, the fight with the monsters was cool. The rest of it was so goddamn goofy. But, like, not in a charming way. It was just goofy. Didn't explain anything. They go to the middle of the Earth. Or, no, they call it Hollow Earth. Which we all know is not true.
Oh.
But it's like, okay. Okay, so what? Like, don't even bother explaining it. They steal the energy, and all of a sudden Mechagodzilla becomes sentient? No. Yeah, sentient. It's self-aware?
Oh, yeah.
Why? Was that from King Ghidorah? Like, or Rodan, like, who was it? Nah, whatever. And then the energy source just works? Like, they didn't experiment? I'm like, what? Okay, never mind. And then, like, Godzilla beats King Kong, lets him die. They resuscitate him. And then King Kong beats the shit out of Mechagodzilla when he couldn't beat the regular Godzilla. And I'm sitting there going, what is this movie?
I can't believe it. You've given it away for me, because I definitely don't remember Mechagodzilla at any point.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
It's a fine
goofy fantasy movie.
Yeah, but
it was just like, how do you make it that dull? So, but then I finally watched Snake Eyes. What a horror of a movie that was. It was written by people who clearly don't know the Snake Eyes character. And that's, I didn't feel like getting into it with you on text.
I was trying to remember if we'd talked about it on the show before.
No, because I started bitching because they already got the story wrong. And they completely got it wrong. And it's like, that was the whole point of Snake Eyes, the character, is his life was built on tragedy, but it was also built on honor. This guy is none of that. The tragedy comes from his dad dying in the beginning, because he was a G.I. Joe, it turns out. Okay. And it's like, so basically the Joes abandoned this kid, or didn't know he existed. Like, okay, whatever. And then he's, like, working for the Yakuza, and he's stealing a gem, and all that. I'm like, what is this horseshit? And I checked out, like, the story of Snake Eyes that was pieced together in the comics is far superior to this, and actually resonates a lot more than this stuff. And then how they hamstrung and put Scarlet and Baroness in it for no reason. They're not necessary. Like,
oh,
I just didn't like it.
Yeah, yeah. I remember being whatever about it. Like, it was what it was.
Yeah. Well, so all right, so real quick, in the comics, he's a soldier. He comes back from Vietnam, and Hawk is there to tell him that his family, who was on the way to pick him up from the airport, was killed in a car accident. The guy who hit him was Cobra Commander's brother. Now, that's kind of, you know, tying it a little too close together, because later on in the series that was revealed.
Oh.
But, so that's why Snake Eyes and Commander hate each other. They kind of found out. So, you know, he joins back to the armed forces, meets, like, Stalker Tommy, Storm Shadow. He gets hurt. Storm Shadow offers him, you know, come to the, I can never say the Ojo's name or the family's name. No. Come be with us. We'll teach your discipline and help you through. Goes back. Goes, no, I'm sorry. That was the tragedy part. That's why he went there. Comes out. And then he's seeing Scarlet. He gets his face just mangled. And it recovers, becomes a Joe guy. But in the meantime, when he's training, it becomes clear that he's going to be the one. Storm Shadow doesn't like it. Well, Cobra Commander, finding out that Snake Eyes was the guy that killed him, hires Firefly to take out Snake Eyes. Well, he contracts out to Zartan. Zartan puts an arrow in the Hardmaster because he was mimicking Snake Eyes. But he used one of Storm Shadow's arrows. So the whole time, Storm Shadow was innocent, but the Arskanji, I know it's not right, is hunting Storm Shadow for it. Like, that's a much better story. It makes sense. It actually introduces people correctly. And this one, like, no! Fuck off. Giant snakes, get the hell out of here. Dumb. Anyways.
Bell time beer of the show after that movie.
Oh wait, no, I forgot the soccer game. that was a lot of fun, dude. That was a lot of fun. The game was great. I mean, they won 4-1.
Yeah, but, that was a first Charlotte FC experience for you.
Oh yeah, yeah, yes, yeah. That was a lot of fun. We were only we were. So Charlotte had possession of the ball almost 70% of the time, which is awesome in the first half when they're shooting at the goal in front of you and you're behind the goal. Not so awesome where they score 3 goals at the other end of the field. So, but yeah, dude, that I will rival the energy at that place to any hockey game I've been to. It was so much fun. The game was interesting. We actually, one of the guys at our gym used to play for, is it New Jersey, New York Red Devils or the Devils?
No, Red Bulls.
Yes, he used to play for them.
Okay.
So I was asking him a bunch of questions because I watch soccer. I don't pretend to understand. And so he was filling me in on stuff. Like, oh, okay. So it was pretty cool, and just a lot of fun, man. That crowd's into it. The 20,000 people they get, which is nuts, they are into it. So
yeah,
well worth the money. You're in and out in 2 hours, basically.
Yeah, definitely 2 hours. That is always that is one of the upsides that the wife touts about the soccer game. You're in, you're out, you're on with your evening.
Sure, some movies. Yeah, I mean, short of the Batman or anything I've seen lately. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I didn't know what I was going to expect. And I know scoring 4 goals in a game sure helps experience.
But yeah, I mean, I have been to some high scoring games. I've been to some not high scoring games.
The next one that we can go to is July 30th. They're playing Columbus, actually.
Well, so, yeah, and that was one of those ironic twists. I forgot that the day that I was visiting you was the day that Columbus and Charlotte were playing in Columbus. So.
Yes. So we missed that one.
Yeah, I did. The wife had actually had the time to go to that game had she wanted to.
Yeah.
Before picking me up at the airport from true. Charlotte.
Oh, I see where you mean that. Yeah. So. Oh, did I tell you the funniest thing is I keep getting emails from American Airlines. Hey, let's plan a trip. I'm like, how about you slow the fuck down and get your stuff right because you're still canceling flights. Why the hell would I fly your airline right now? You're out of your mind.
Well, that's any airline, so...
Well, I guess around here we hear about it more because American, it's like one of the hubs is here.
Oh, right.
So, we hear about him more. So, all right, now we get to the Valentine beer.
You know, evidently, things aren't sliding great for them currently. They put out a please buy our beer post today. And I had one of their beers in the fridge still, Pretentious Barrel House here in Columbus. They make some of the most delicious sours that that you could ever like. This one, Incarnadine. Sour blonde with red and purple plums. I crushed this thing. It was super tasty. It's the right level of sour. Like, they always find, like, a nice, like, it's never too pungent, but it's definitely in there, and you can get some pucker out of it. Yeah, they have some really, really good sour beers, and evidently they're going to be expanding their production a little bit, so there's going to be more beer on the market, but not necessarily more tap room hours. So yeah, I'm going to have to make sure to re-up on their beers here sometime, so I have additional ones from them in the chamber to review on future podcasts. Anything?
Wait. So they're expanding production, but asking to buy their beer.
It's kind of strange. They're doing less tap room hours.
Oh.
But they're expanding production.
Okay.
So they're doing more like grocery you know, bar room sales than okay. Their own hours.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I got nothing. I have a Gatorade Zero, the yellow one. I think it's supposed to be lemon lime or whatever. It doesn't really taste like that. It's just yellow. So, had to recover. It's been brutal in the gym this week. Yeah, there's my sippy time Gatorade.
So. Okie dokie. Well, suggestion from beer from @DeFrango11. Suggestion for Gatorade from @GrannyMaze. The brand is @StuntGranny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Night again.